Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, what are you most insecure about? What are you most insecure about? Record and listen. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty from Vancouver.
Hello, Patty.
Hello. I wanted to talk a little bit, not so much about, well, I mean, I'm sure it's tied into insecurity, but just the process that I went through yesterday and through the night and now coming to today, about ego just really pouring it on. It's as if the conditions, which are I'm going to go traveling this weekend, and in the past has had a story about that. But I mean, I've been back from the monastery about now, I guess, a month. And things have been going very smoothly, and I've been doing assignments and following through on my meditation practice and staying present and seeing. And yesterday in yoga class, those voices just would not stop, and they had every story about everything going along. You know, part of it is, when are you going to start to do more recording and listening? So I did maybe 5, 6, 7 of those, and I'm trying to do a recording that supports me to remember that it's not me. And I had a half an hour conversation with a friend who's also in this practice in Vancouver, and talk through just, okay, this is happening. I saw it, but I was still kind of in it, but I saw it, and did the recording about that.
So, Patty, first of all, a month. That's amazing that you've had a month where they've been kind of in the background, right? And so we could guess it would just be way time for them to roar in and see if they can mess up your life. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, isn't it, to consider that you, all of us together, I would guess, probably the single thing that we're all most insecure about is those voices.
Yes.
That's the one, right? They start in and we go, oops. Oh, maybe they're right. Maybe that's true. Maybe I'm in trouble here. Maybe I've done something. Yeah.
And I saw the doubt coming up, and I also saw them turning the resistance and the ego talking to the ego, the resistance to, oh, no, I've heard all this before. So I saw that, and then, yeah.
Isn't it good to see?
It is. It's so good to see. And it was so good to do recordings, listen to it, call a friend, be reassured, okay, yeah, this happens. You're on the right track. You just keep seeing. And then, of course, it happened again in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., you know, wanting to start on something else. And, okay, let's look at that too.
Yeah, it's simultaneously horrible and kind of humorous, and a huge relief, of course, when we recognize it for what it is and get to the other side, right? Because it's so predictable, so repetitive and predictable, and yet it can still grab us, and especially at 4 a.m., you know, in that vulnerable, in the middle of the night time, and then to get to the other side and recognize it for what it is and realize, that was a big storm, and my insecurity is getting less all the time because increasingly I know I can recognize it and get to the other side.
It just feels like in the last month so many insights and seeing, and all of a sudden we don't want you to see. No. And
No more. Yeah. That's enough. Get you back under the thumb. Yeah. And no, actually, it's not where we're going.
Right.
Well, thank
you. I'm just going to take care of this human. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ashwini.
Thanks, Patty. Sherry, that's so important that we recognize what it is that you said about the thing that we are made to feel most insecure about is the power of the voices, mm-hmm. and to realize that what we're building is our confidence in not being identified, but recovering from the identification.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead. Finish that thought.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and the voices are insecurity. That what we are learning to get is when we identify with them, we are experiencing their insecurity, not that we are insecure.
And when we're no longer insecure about them, then it's not a problem. And what you said that I think is so important is that this process that we're in, we're building that confidence so that whatever karma comes up, whatever conditioning throws at us, we know we have everything we need to get through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The self-confidence that comes as the illusion of a self falls away.
Yes. I think that's a quote from you, actually. We feel most confident when there is no self. That self-confidence is. Yeah, I'm
comes from the lack
now,
of self.
So, yep. Yes, exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. My name is Carolyn. I'm calling from Virginia.
Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi. So what came up for me of what I'm most insecure about is my lovability as a human being. And I heard what you said in the last call that for all of us, really, it's the voices that's our biggest insecurity. And I know that this story of my unlovability is a story that's told to me by conditioned mind, and it's told it to me for so long that I believe it. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing is, I just have not been doing the year-long retreat. I have been getting days behind in the assignments, not recording and listening. And yesterday I was listening to Open Air and saying, all right, I'm making a commitment to myself for the next 7 days I'm going to record and listen. So this morning I got up, I meditated, I caught up with my assignments in the workbook, I recorded with the mentor and listened. And the mentor said, set your watch to beep every hour so that when these voices come in and say, you're not lovable, you're all alone, you don't have anybody there for you, you remind yourself of how you are connected to all of life, and you're in the whole flow of the river of life, and you, I've heard you say, Sherry, you can't possibly not be connected and not be, you can't possibly be alone. Yeah. And somehow conditioning it seems to be more more convincing a lot of the times, or at least I guess my neural pathways are more conditioned to believe what conditioning says. But But today I have set my alarm, and every hour I'm telling myself, I'm reminding myself, no, I'm not alone. No, I'm not unlovable. I'm part of all of life. All of life is good and wonderful and made of love and peace and joy and compassion. So I can't be apart from that.
That's exactly right. Have you ever heard us talk about the little exercise that I don't even know what retreat it came out of? But what you do is, you can do it anywhere, but a lot of times it's fun to do it outside. You go outside and you find a flower, or you find a tree, or you find a bird, or you find a whatever it is, and you say to it, I love you. Do you love me?
I have heard of that, and I have done it, and it just was kind of an epiphany.
Yes.
And of course, I stopped doing it.
Yes, of course. That's what we call being bamboozled, right?
Yes, so, I got bamboozled into stopping it.
Yeah, so you know that it's true. You know that you're loved because you get that information back. And, there are people who would roll their eyes and go, oh, right, sure, the tree just said it loves you. But when you have the experience, you know that it's true.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, we get talked out of it because, we see this a lot in the world, more now than usual, whatever usual is, but where what is true is put in second place to lies. And and that's what's happening. I mean, it's a perfect picture of how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate works. You have an experience. You know what is true. You get it, obviously, by the way you describe it, that you cannot be separate, and of course you're not alone, and of course you're an expression of life, and life is love. So all of that stuff is just flat-out bogus. It's just lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet, we get brainwashed into the insecurity, the doubt. Well, but, nobody called me all day today, so maybe it's really true that, so the setting the alarm is huge, isn't it, to come back to what you know is true.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what we're doing. We're breaking through the lies, and we just keep coming back and choosing what is true, what is true, what is true. Doesn't matter how many times we get fooled. It really doesn't. We'll come back, and we come back stronger every time.
Well, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Today, I've been out. Conditioning is probably realizing that I've thrown down the gauntlet to it and is maybe deciding to come back stronger than usual. But as I've been outdoors doing my morning things that I have to do, I just kind of had these feelings wash over me, which are they're echoes of old familiar and very unpleasant feelings from the past, which would be strong enough to make me just sort of give up in the past. And I know better than that now. I know that
that's right.
I know that it's just conditioning, and that whatever a feeling is doesn't mean it's reality. It's going to pass. It's just a passing cloud through the sky.
Yes. And have you recorded that? Because
that
would be a really important recording to make and listen to regularly.
Okay. Yeah.
Those feelings come through, conditioning drags them out from an old, dark and dusty cellar somewhere, washes them over us, and we're meant to collapse under the weight of it. But it's a program. It's a trick. It's a bamboozle that's not real. And now I can look at the beautiful tree and I can say, I love you, and I can say, thank you, and I can get right here. I can just focus on all the things that are wonderful in my life that I love, that I adore, that I appreciate. And poof, I'm right here again.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Don't get them.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carolyn. And that really is the only defense, right, Terry, that when it starts, we just reach for all of our tools and prove to ourselves that we don't have to identify with what the voices are saying to us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the key, reach for our tools. That negativity, it turns into a signal to look around and reach for the tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually in the form of a recorder, of course, but mm-hmm. there are lots of things, right? Even if we got tricked into leaving the recorder at home somehow, there's always a tree. There's always something green. There's always something alive. There's a bird. There's an animal. There's a person that we can just turn attention to and send love to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you said about what it says is the clue to where the attention needs to be redirected to, right? So if you're unlovable, then all the ways in which there is love is, and the experience of directing the attention sufficiently to create that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rather than check back to see whether conditioned mind agrees with the fact that you are now having the experience that it's telling you.
Right. And I know I do this so often. I can't help myself. That song from my childhood, I guess it was from my childhood, and the lyrics are, you're nobody till somebody loves you. Mm. And then the next line is, so find yourself somebody to love.
Mm. Mm.
Now, yeah. I don't know who wrote that song or if they got the enormity of what they were saying,
mm.
but there it is. You're nobody till somebody loves you. Find yourself somebody to love. And to me, that's what the Buddha taught.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine.
Hi. Boy, is there a lot buzzing around in my brain right now from these conversations. And so I just want to tell you why I called in, what the insecurity was at that point. It's getting very slippery. In fact, I wrote it down. So I'm just going to read it. It's
because
only a couple of sentences.
Catherine, because under the scrutiny you're bringing, it's not being able to maintain itself. Is that why you had to write it down?
Well, something else will drop in and lead me off into something else.
Okay, all right.
And
okay.
That's fine. But eventually, it's going to come back to this question, you know, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about that thing
mm-hmm.
and go, and then whatever. Whatever mm-hmm. happens from that is good.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I wrote. I am insecure about my adequacy in dealing with an unfriendly universe. It's me against everything. I do not trust that I am adequate to living life.
Okay. This is a simple little exercise, okay?
Okay.
Take all those I and me and mark those out and write ego.
Okay.
You want to read it again? Just making those
changes? Ego is insecure about ego's adequacy in dealing with an unfriendly universe. It's ego against everything. Ego does not trust that ego is adequate to living life.
There. Now you've got a true little paragraph.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
Okay.
And ego is right, which is why it's constantly working so hard to take over a human life, because ego is inadequate. It can't
okay.
do it. It does project hostility because it's hostile. It's against everything. its ego. It wants to be the center of the universe. It wants to be God.
Yeah.
It cannot. It is frightened. Yeah. It is fear. Yeah, all of that is true. Just don't be confused that you're it, and there's no problem.
Okay. I had this sense this morning of being trapped in an identity I couldn't get out of. And when I saw that, the only thing that I felt I could do is just focus on the breath.
Well, I would not encourage that. Because if we could do that, we wouldn't be in that position that you're describing in the first place.
Okay.
So my encouragement is get out the recorder and begin to describe the identification.
Oh, okay.
What the sensations are, this is what the feelings are, this is the story, these are the labels, this is what I'm being told it means.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
We're on it. Thanks, Catherine.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Catherine. And that's such an important practice, I would say prescription, because there's no way that if I'm identified, I'm going to be allowed to focus on the breath and redirect
Precisely.
Attention.
Precisely.
And so I actually have to talk about what's going on. And it's something you've always said, right, Cherry, that the voices talk us into an experience, and therefore the most powerful counter to being talked into the experience is to talk ourselves here.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it, that what you're describing is exactly so. So if I'm going to look at the identification, I'm going to observe what ego's doing. I can't do that from the identification.
No.
So it's it is the way out. Yeah, and that just focus on the breath. Just be here. Just, you know, all of that is advice for keeping ego in charge, because the attention is constantly going to be pulled to, is it working? Am I disidentified? Mm-hmm. Am I still? The answer is going to be, no, you're still identified. You're sunk.
Yeah. Am I here with the breath?
Yeah. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Renee in Oregon.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. Yeah, I was looking at this one, and I think the one that arose was fear or insecure about criticism or people disagreeing with me.
Uh-huh.
And that comes up, especially in this current climate that we're in. So, but I feel like I'm really seeing it big, and at the same time, I really am aware of it. And, it, you know, it's like the outrage is bigger than the insecurity right now. So I just move forward.
So, Renee, does it seem that if people don't agree with you, they're criticizing you?
Mm. Yeah, maybe two different things. I think if I feel really passionate about something and someone's just the polar opposite, it feels really like a punch in the stomach or something. Like, wow, how could you be so far away from where I'm at, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then the criticism is...
Go ahead.
Oh, and then the criticism is if they directly go, like, you know, attacking something either I say or do or, you know. So they kind of are related, I think, but maybe different.
Okay. Well, I'm going to encourage you really to look at that because putting those two together in that way is a recipe for disaster. Because if you can only be okay if everybody agrees with you, or you can only be okay if people don't criticize you, then that's very vulnerable. Talk about an insecure place to be.
Right? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to realize that people are coming from all different kinds of perspectives, and it can be interesting that they are thinking and doing what they are, but it doesn't have anything to do with you.
So yeah, and there's ego takes it personal. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, actually, ego is just looking for a way to create some misery. So it doesn't actually take anything personally, because it's not a person.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a system that is constantly looking for trouble, problems, difficulty. And so to realize that you have your way of viewing things, which you're always questioning, right, because we do awareness practice, and you can be interested in other people's process, but not to let it, the voices turn it into a statement, what they're saying and doing, into a statement about you, because it isn't.
Yeah, that's true. It isn't.
Yeah.
So I guess if
somebody thought you were an absolute fool, it wouldn't mean you were a fool. Unless you let it mean that.
Right. Yeah, and I guess I do, you know, because that does tend to set me back, or cause misery.
So somebody projects something onto you, there's that insecurity, that doubt. Oh, God, well, maybe that is a stupid perspective, or maybe, maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they can see something I'm not seeing, which can be really interesting, but it doesn't mean it's anything for you to feel bad about.
Yeah, true. This is very helpful. Yeah. That's true. And then I guess it's just like I also want everyone to think the same way I do, so that in this case we can do something about it, you know. So
Yes. And I heard somebody, I think I mentioned this recently, I heard somebody talk about global climate change, and he said, you know, don't waste your time talking to people who don't believe the climate is changing. Just find the people who do and work with them. And that just seemed like such sound advice across the board.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's
instead
kind
of wasting,
yeah.
Yeah. Instead of wasting our time talking to people who clearly have a completely different orientation to life, don't waste that energy arguing. Dogen, this is good Buddhism too. You know, Dogen had an entire thing on not arguing with people. But just, great. All right, next. and then find the people that want to work on the things that you want to work on, that want to support what you want to support. And then all of that energy is available for that instead of being dissipated in ego versus ego.
Yes, that's sort of where I'm being directed.
And it has the extra added benefit of you don't have to feel bad. So,
right.
There's a lot going for it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I do feel better when I'm with the people who are talking to the people who are thinking the same way. And if there's someone in between and they're able to be open a little, I can actually talk to them too. So
yeah, and see if anybody wanted to get on board. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you,
thank
Renee.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Oh, there's so much in that conversation, Sherry. but we're at the end of the show. And the biggest thing that dropped in is ego is a position.
Yes.
Right? It's always a position against life. And it would love to keep the energy going to maintain its position, which is not really based on anything except a conversation.
Yes,
you know?
A not life conversation. That's the whole.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. It is a position, and that position is anti-life.
Yes, and all the life force can go to defending that in order to solidify that position.
Mm-hmm.
If we're willing to let it go, it's the most powerful place to be, because mm-hmm. then we have all of life as our position rather than just one point that is attempting to bolster itself.
Yeah. Mm. That's very good.
All right. Well, our question for today is, how has this insecurity affected your life? So what are you most insecure about was what we talked about yesterday. And then the query for today is, how has that insecurity affected your life?
So we continue this conversation from today, huh? Because we've really started looking at that. What's the
mm-hmm.
the result of being in that ego insecurity?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Go happy and treasure yourself.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, show.